You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
From north to south, to east to west, listen and you'll hear the voice of George C. Wallace ringing loud and clear. He's speaking to America, his words are wise and true. And if you really love your country, here's what you'll do. Stand up for America. Let's vote to keep it free. Rioting and looting, and the cities are being burned. How much more will it take for Washington to learn? Take time to look around you at the problems that we face. You'll see that the great society has been a great disgrace. Stand up for America. Let's vote to keep it free. The Texan is going.
I got to give the audience credit when I say this, folks. Those who have kept us on the air for now 19 years, there will never be another program like TPC, Keith Alexander. There will never be another show like this who can reach back
into the past.
Into the past, as we have done, who has interviewed the breadth of guests as we have done, who has had the history that we have had, and including an interview with George Wallace's son himself, George Wallace Jr., which we have talked about recently, and we actually replayed that not too long ago.
We also did Drew Lackey, the Montgomery police chief that fingerprinted Rosa Parks. We've also, had the people, the survivors of the USS Liberty, which happened this week, by the way.
That's right. That was the first week of June. Fantastic, Keith. Thank you for remembering that. And then also, there were people who worked for Wallace who were members of his campaign who traveled the country with him. You know, people talk about Ross Perot this, Ross Perot that. Ross Perot got X percentage of the vote in 1992, in 1996. He didn't carry any states as a third-party candidate. George Wallace did. He carried a lot of states.
And who was the most famous of those speech writers and functionaries?
The grandfather or the step-grandfather of a couple of ladies in our listening audience. And I should say, I actually talked to two members of George Wallace's campaign staff this week, and you know them, members of the old Council of Conservative Citizens,
yep.
Bill Lord and Ray Martin. They're still alive and kicking. I mean, they're a little bit older than
I am. God bless them both.
And but they were out there with George on that campaign trail. Now, we got to get to our guest.
Let me just say this. You know, the guy I was thinking about was the guy that wrote Outlaw Josie Wales. What was his name?
Well, who's to say?
But anyway, he wrote something about Little Tree. He basically was a speechwriter, and he wrote the segregation.
Well, that was George. Yeah, that was Carter. Carter. That's who we're talking about. That's who we know.
Asa Carter, I think.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
It. Right. Yeah.
All right. So that's right. And
very talented writer, by the way.
And related to a couple of ladies in our listening audience, as it were. But nevertheless, and fantastic ladies, I might add.
Yeah.
So let's move now back to, now we're back on a Southern theme of things. We've had seven first-time guests making debut appearances on the program in this calendar year 2023 here on TPC, our 19th year on the air. One of the ones was John Hill back in our Confederate History Month. That was the closest living descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, Confederate Lieutenant General A.P. Hill. Now, he's back on the show right now to share some exciting news. Now, he was a real bright spot amongst many during our Confederate History Month series earlier this year. You want to go back in April and listen to his hour on the radio, and you can hear him talking about his own background and, of course, the history of his wonderful ancestor, Lieutenant General A.P. Hill. So go check that out. But he's back tonight. We always hear articles in the news about Confederate monuments coming down and being taken down and being destroyed. How about one that's being minted? How about one that's being created right now and that's going to be raised up? He's going to tell us about it right now. John, pardon the long introduction, but please, my friend, take it away and tell us the good and exciting news.
Well, I'll start off with saying that I started a business for AP Hill. And it's called the AP Hill Legacy Foundation. And that's actually official. I just got the certificate from the state in the mail and the EIN number and all that. So I'm just waiting to set up a business bank account. And then I'll have a PO box and a website set up. And then everything will be good to go. So I was just in Gettysburg meeting up with Mr. Gary Castile. He is the one who did the Longstreet Monument in Gettysburg, plus many others. And me and him had a meeting on June 5th, which was my birthday, and he's going to be doing my AP Hill monument. I gave him the design ideas, and we talked it over, and everything's good to go. We talked about how phase one, the payment to get it started and everything, and he's going to have an official finished sketch. Probably, he said, within about 30 days, he'll have a sketch.
That is incredible. So you're talking about a renowned artist when it comes to making these historical monuments and memorials and statues. He is going to be crafting a new monument to Confederate General A.P. Hill, your ancestor. And that is no small deal. So, again, the left always celebrates if they're able to take a scalp, so to speak, and remove a monument from some municipality or town or whatever.
But this bald-headed person is growing their hair back, though, now.
But this is something that is going to be new. This isn't a monument that we're getting out of storage or receiving from somewhere else. We're going to put in some place. This is something that is brand new from a renowned artist that's going to go where, John?
It's going to go right outside of Lexington in Lee Jackson Memorial Park. And I haven't released any of the details about my design ideas on the monument, but I was waiting to do it on your show. So the original monument that was erected in 1892, it shows General Hill in a full uniform holding his saber. To me, that didn't really capture. I loved it. I love the monument. I mean, we're still in a legal battle for it. Even if we win the original one back, now we'll have two instead of just one. But it didn't capture the spirit of A.P. Hill.
The Marshall
spirit. So my design idea, my design idea was to have him in a battle shirt. Because he always wore battle shirts, like they're like calico red shirts or hunting shirts that his wife always made for him. And he basically had a mini arsenal on him when he walked around. So he wore his battle shirt and his trousers, his cavalry boots. He always had a slouch hat pulled low on his brow. And he carried two single-shot horse pistols, one on each hip. He carried two 1851 Colts in his belt, tucked in his belt. He carried a large butcher knife, like a Bowie knife, and he carried a saber. So he carried a total of four pistols and two blades.
I can win with a guy
and
like
that.
And
that's what the monument...
Man! And he survived right until the week of Lee's surrender at Appomattox. So he went through 4 years.
I guarantee you, to the end.
I guarantee you in 4 years he came out ahead. He came out ahead. We'll be right back with the closest living descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, John Hill himself, right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today, or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie. The more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
America was founded as sovereign states with right. Now the states are being conquered by Washington with might. Our Constitution gives the states the sovereign right to choose their form of local government. That's right, we must not lose. Stand up for America. Let's vote to keep it free.
Credit where credit is due. That was Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan was the one who introduced me to that campaign commercial and song for George Wallace. I had never heard that before. Even after all the
thank heaven for the internet. I tell you what, all these gems from the past.
Jack found it.
Are there?
Jack. He doesn't want to be called a Yankee. He's a Midwesterner. He's from the Chicago area. But he found that. I didn't even know about that. But that's wonderful stuff. The last third-party candidate to ever carry a state, and he carried more than one. He carried a few. George Wallace, you never know who you're going to hear from here on TPC.
You know what? It's just like we had David Duke saying things that are now being parroted by the leadership of the Republican Party and the primary commentators like Tucker Carlson. Well, guess what? The principles of George Wallace are now the principles of the Republican Party.
Well, you never know who you're going to hear from here on TPC. You could hear from George Wallace's son, who we've interviewed, or you could hear from Mel Gibson's dad, who we've also interviewed. But what we have here tonight, who we have here tonight, is John Hill, the closest living descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, Ambrose Powell Hill. Had a wonderful biographical hour with John, talking about his ancestor, A.P. Hill, back during our Confederate History Month series in April. But he's back on with us tonight because we're celebrating the fact that a brand new monument, a brand new statue to his ancestor, Confederate General A.P. Hill, is going to be created and raised in Lexington, Virginia. The media loves when we take one down. You never hear about the ones that are being made and going up, but that's what you're hearing about tonight.
This is Lexington, Virginia, where VMI and Washington Lee University.
It's a beautiful, bucolic town. I've had the opportunity. Anytime I drive to Washington, I always get off the beaten path and go down to Lexington. It is a beautiful college town. It is a beautiful, beautiful area there where the Lee Chapel is, where I have paid respects to the grave and final resting place of Robert E. Lee. Also Stonewall Jackson Cemetery, the Jackson Cemetery, there about a block away, not much more than that. I've been there. I've put a lemon at Jackson's grave, as you'll see lemons there. But nevertheless, that's where you're going to be. Am I right, John? This monument's going to be in Lexington, which is just a wonderful place, if I do say so myself.
Very historic.
It's just outside of Lexington, not too far from there. I think it's right off of 81, Lee Jackson Memorial Park. They just had a 80-foot flag raising and some other stuff on May 27th, I think it was, that I was there. I had my AP Hill booth set up with all my relics, and I was doing presentations for people there and stuff like that. So it was a really good event. We had like 200-300 people out there too.
That's great. And by the way, that's what I want to mention. So we got this new monument. You mentioned the renowned artist who is casting it. And he has made mm-hmm. other monuments that are on display and can be seen at Gettysburg. You're still traveling the country, raising awareness about the history and the heroism of A.P. Hill. And you're on the road coming up. Are you still going to be at the Forest Home?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be going to Garner, North Carolina, and Kenansville, North Carolina, for two speeches on the 13th and 14th. And then I'll be in Chapel Hill at the Forest Boyhood Home on the 17th. And that's probably going to be my biggest presentation, because I heard there could be almost 400 people there. So
that is
a
week from tonight. When he's saying the 12th and the 13th and the 17th, he means of June of next week. And, of course,
yep,
our dear good friend, Gene Andrews, who is the caretaker of the Forest Boyhood Home and a regular guest on this program, will be hosting that event a week from tonight. So, if you can get to Chapel Hill, Tennessee, a week from tonight, next Saturday, June the 17th, you'll have a chance not only to meet TPC regular Gene Andrews, but also John Hill, who will be giving a talk about his ancestor, A.P. Hill. And that's going to be the place to be. That is a big event. That is an annual thing, and that is no small fry. So, John, what are you going to be talking about there?
Well, I'm going to do my presentation kind of like I did on our last interview. Our last interview, I could have went for another hour because I have so much to talk about for General Hill. But I'll try to keep it, I don't want to bore people because, sometimes I go into too much detail. But what I am going to bring is a lot of my relics and stuff, the piece of wood from A.P. Hill's boyhood home, the 1862 handwritten order from A.P. Hill where he signed his rank, Colonel 13th Virginia. I have CDVs of them. I have a whole bunch of relics and stuff that I bring of A.P. Hill, and I'll have it all set up on the table. I'll do a whole presentation on that, and then I'll tell some personal details that people have never heard about A.P. Hill.
So that's all coming up a week from tonight at the Forest Boyhood Home, which I've had the opportunity to go to. It's a wonderful place to visit. Obviously, if you have the chance to go there with Gene Andrews, take advantage of it, and he'll be there next week. He is the caretaker. John Hill will be AP. I wish AP Hill would be there, but John Hill will be there. That's certainly good enough.
Both Nathan Bedford Forrest and AP Hill are underappreciated Confederate generals that are worthy of your notice and study. Check their histories out. They did incredible work.
And that will end actually next week. Our good friend Rich Hamblin is texting me saying that's a week from today if you're listening live. Now, if you're listening to the archives on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so many people do, Friday, it's going to be next Saturday, the 17th of June. It's going to end at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you want to get there early. But that is a place to see. That is where Nathan Bedford Forrest was born. That is where, from that location, he rode into the pages of history. And I had the opportunity to go there when he was reinterred again.
And in my opinion, I think that as big a position he held in history as A.P. Hill did in the Eastern Theater of the Confederacy in the Civil War, I think that Nathan Bedford Forrest is the premier Confederate general in the Western.
Well, there's no doubt about that. If you could have gotten Forrest and Hill together, we wouldn't have had anything to worry about. But I had the opportunity to be there a couple of years ago when they buried him for the most recent time, and I was about as far as I am from you, Keith, here in the studio tonight from the remains of Forrest and his casket. And, of course, John, you gave the story, the emotional story of how when your ancestor, A.P. Hill, was reinterred and moved from his would have hoped would have been his final resting place, you were there to receive the remains and move them to a place where he could be properly honored, which is, of course, no longer in the place where he was once at. But that, again, folks, you can revisit that interview in the broadcast archives. Go back to Confederate History Month in April. You can get it. But, yes, so These are the things, but there's also things to celebrate, and we're celebrating the fact that there's going to be a new monument going up to a Confederate hero, A.P. Hill, that has been casted or is in the process of being casted by a renowned sculptor, and it's going to be raised in Lexington, Virginia, that legendary resting place of Generals Lee and Jackson. And
I just hope you have somebody like Gene Andrews guarding it. Like,
well, hey, this is the guy. No, John is the guy.
Are you going to be living out there?
He's the protector.
I'll put a tent up if I have to and live next to Hill.
Amen, brother. And in the meantime, you're all over the place. So you've mentioned just this week you're going to be in between now and next Saturday in three different locations, raising awareness to the history and the victories of A.P. Hill. Where can people find out more? We have about a minute remaining.
Okay, they can find me on Twitter under John Hill. It'll be at Johnny Reb 1989, and also Instagram, Johnny underscore Reb underscore CSA. And pretty soon I'm going to have a website up, A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation. And I also have another, I have more speeches, but I have another big event coming up on September 30th. We're going to march down Confederate Avenue in Gettysburg for General Hill. It's going to be like a charity march.
Keith, I'm sending you up there for that one.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to send you to march with him down, down Monument Avenue in Richmond.
I would do it. I would tell you. Yeah. I've been out there on Union Avenue with the Bombardier Eddie Miller with a Confederate flag as big as this room.
Oh, I was there, too, down at Forest Park in Memphis. Right.
But nevertheless, John, thank you for your service to a cause greater than ourselves, for honoring your ancestor. Thank you for sharing good news with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to meet John Hill, you want to meet Gene Andrews, you don't know how to get to the Forest Boyhood Home in Chapel Hill, email me, jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll put you straight. All right. Thank you, John. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmish. In his first comment since the federal indictment, former President Trump told a crowd of supporters in Georgia on Saturday that it was a vicious persecution by the Biden administration's, quote, weaponized Department of Injustice. However, Alan Sanders, a political science expert, said the unsealed 37-count indictment is thorough.
And so what was really important in those documents was how they went through everything. They almost tried to prove their case in the indictment. This was not a speaking indictment. It was a screaming indictment showing everything that they had uncovered.
Trump is expected to surrender on Tuesday in federal court in Miami. Ukrainian officials say they have evidence Russia blew up a dam that caused an environmental catastrophe this week.
Ukrainian investigators claim to have intercepted a phone call between Russian agents who were talking about plans to blow up the Novokakhovka Dam in southern Ukraine. In a Telegram post, the Security Service of Ukraine said Russia wanted to blackmail the country by creating an environmental disaster in its southern region. I'm John Schaefer.
In what was billed as the biggest pride celebration ever at the White House, President Biden gave praise on Saturday to the LGBTQ community for their courage and for the hope and light they generate for people. The man known as the Unabomber has been found dead in his prison cell. A Federal Bureau of Prison spokesperson said Ted Kaczynski was found dead Saturday morning at a medical center in North Carolina. Former FBI Special Agent Cliff Watts recalls law enforcement's lengthy pursuit of Kaczynski.
They actually allowed the media to print his manifesto, and that is what broke the case open, because his brother, Kaczynski's brother, was the one that read the manifesto and recognized the writing. So it was a remarkable investigative step.
Kaczynski was 81. A sports note, Arc Angelo wins the Belmont Stakes. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June, I said that's life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's life until it's not, am I right? Pat Robertson, 93 years old, has gone to be with the Savior, am I right? So he has passed away, 93. I, unlike my colleagues and comrades tonight, see Pat Robertson a little bit more favorably than I think the reception you're going to get and the reaction you're going to get from Jack Ryan, our regular contributor, and Keith Alexander. Pat Robertson ran for president in 1988. He won the Republican caucus in Iowa, winning that first in the nation caucus in Iowa. And all of the articles that I've read about Pat Robertson this week, I won't read them to you, but I've read many, and they're all absolutely crucifying him. When you die, if you get attacked, you die. Did something good in life. If you are celebrated
by the mainstream media, at least.
That's right. If you are celebrated by the mainstream media when you die, you didn't do it right at all. Pat Buchanan's still with us. Pat Robertson is not. Yeah, that's right. But Pat Robertson is not. And so he was a Christian televangelist. Protestant Christian, the 700 Club, we all remember him. I have a marginally favorable view, as I can say about so many people. He was not our guy, but he was not our guy. If the entire establishment hates you when you die, there is something to be said for you. They are attacking him because he said feminists were witches and that he wasn't on board with the LGBTQ plus IASR. Two, whatever they call themselves now, and he was not on board with children lopping off their genitals.
Well, as you would have said, he had all the right enemies.
Okay, but Jack, you have another take.
Right. There's so many things that are bad about our system, and George Washington, our best president, he was another Virginian. He warned about this division between two groups of people. It was Federalists and Republicans back in the day. He said, you should represent your district and things like that. So this two-party system, conservatives against liberals, it has caused us so much terrible stuff. So you set it up that your only opposition are crazy leftists, black criminals rioting and looting and the worst perverts is this Christian coalition people. And you say, hey, that's great, I'm Christian, he's for theirs. And then they say, God is not on your side. And then it ends up being this Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Mike Huckabee people, and then they all they do is just collect money. They excuse my French, they pimp for Tyson Foods. They want low, wage illegal aliens working for them. And then these people came up with this Christian Zionist. All these wars, neoconservatives, did they really care that Christians are being religious, ethnically cleansed out of the Holy Land? Do they do that? No, they just
well,
don't.
Well, the worst thing they and did, then, really, but, I think, Jack, yeah, is that yeah, they worship at the shrine of the Jews.
All right, now that's
they're
the
for
thing.
Money.
Not our guy.
And they took the 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, he's 30. At least he said some good things about Pat Buchanan back in the day. I will give him that. But then, the other thing is that this tax exempt churches. I mean, you think it's there. it's gone is that these people, like Jesus said, when he wanted that rich guy, he wanted to follow him. He said, you're going to have to give up most or all your money. And the rich guy didn't want to do it. So these tax-exempt churches and real estate, and it's pretty much all denominations now, they like being rich, tax-exempt. And to do that, you got to go with the flow, which is the Israeli lobby. You can never mention the media. You might say a few bad things about porn or something, but they never do anything about it. And then they go along with all these wars against Israel's neighbors. And now they want to have wars against Russia. Now they've thrown off communism and they're a European nationalist one. I mean, that is just, I'm sorry, but that's just Judas. They've taken the 30 pieces of silver. They don't defend our civilization. They never mention the invasion, the great replacement of our people, and they just like being rich. They're going they're going with the flow, and some a famous other guy says our people are slaves of money and we're slaves of these J people, and that's kind of what. Plus he's so damn boring. Excuse my French again. He's just so dull. And why does our religion? Why do our people have to be so boring? I mean, that's why they go for something, a rock singer or something like that. So I'm praying right now that Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and St. Peter that are guarding the gates of heaven, I don't want them to let them in. You know, I don't think Satan Lucifer wants them there either. They're so boring. There's some other place they can go with just boring people. When I die, I want to go to some
I wish
place.
They were more boring on being faithful to the Word of God. They, you know, they ignore parts of the Word of God that are not in alignment with the left-wing mantra
I look forward
today
to the first 2.5 hours just to get to a laugh like that from Jack in the last 30 minutes where he's saying he's praying that Jesus won't let Pat Robertson in because he's too boring. So that's
Lucifer doesn't want
time
him either. There's some other place for just dull, boring people that you can go on and they're just like, whoa.
Now, here's the thing, though, Jack. Here's the thing, though, yeah. Keith, is that all of the media in unison is celebrating. Keith was confused about this earlier. I said they're not honoring him. They're celebrating the fact that he died. That's a different thing. They're not saying, oh, what a great guy he was. They're celebrating the fact that he's dead, so he won't be around anymore because they said he was backwards. You know, the same thing they say about everybody that's decent. He's a demagogue, 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 demagogue.
Particularly a Southern fundamentalist.
His father,
count on one hand, I think. All the Southern fundamentalists that they endorse or approve of.
Pat Robertson's father was a United States senator out of Virginia at the same time when Harry Byrd was a Democratic senator out of Virginia. And in any event, they're excoriating him over the fact that he said feminists are witches and he wasn't on board with the LGBTQ transgender movement. And so that and that alone was enough. That was... Was he good on race? Not like Buchanan. There's two different Pats here, Pat Robertson and Pat Buchanan.
I don't think he was good at all on race.
Well, I didn't say he was, but
he never mentions immigration. He loved all these neo-Zionist wars. I mean, why? I mean, why do you want to like slaughter hundreds of thousands of millions of Serbs, Germans, or Russians? Why do you want to?
Let me
that?
Ask you. Let me ask you if you can
see.
He was in the tank for Israel, but not so much for some of these other social issues. But the media is, and we talked about this with David Duke in the last hour, the media this week is connecting the dots. And they're saying 1988, Pat Robertson, when he won the Republican caucus in Iowa, to 1991, David Duke, his nomination as Republican nominee for governor, 1992 to Pat Buchanan to Donald Trump. Robertson, Duke, Buchanan, Trump. Do y'all connect those
George
dots
Wallace,
at all?
68 and 72.
Well, I mean, okay, well, that was a much bigger one, but that was way before. But, I mean, do you connect the dots at all there, Keith?
Well, I can understand, but I think he's getting unfair credit, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if he knew that he was going to, you know, propel or set off the career of Pat Buchanan, he probably wouldn't have run. You know, I don't.
Well, you said earlier before the show tonight, if it was Pat Robertson that was my inspiration, there would have never been a political suspect.
That's right. Yeah, right. Pat Robertson, like Jack said, is about as interesting as a bowl of oatmeal.
But if all of our enemies are against him, are we for him? I mean, Jack, that's the question to you. If all the enemies are celebrating his death, was there something there that was good?
A lot of things, you know. I mean, they're going to be against Pat Boone, too. I mean, but does that mean that Pat Boone is the savior of our people or something like that? Again, I don't know. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to try? Maybe we could try this as a weapon. We could try to get these Pat Boones, Pat Robinsons, to try to bore our enemies to death. They have to watch like a lot of, like 20 hours. They'd fall asleep and then they wouldn't go to vote or something. I mean, sure. I mean, that's, you know, that's germ warfare, I guess, but it's
do we laugh this month?
Every time we have Jack on, we wind up laughing. We have the
but he's right. I mean, but I mean, he's not wrong, at least. And he makes us laugh and we kill him with humor. And that was Bob Whitaker's thing. The enemy hates to be mocked and they hate to be laughed at. And Jack has that knack. Jack has a knack.
Yep, he does.
But, okay, so Pat Robertson,
right,
zero. Here we go. I got to say this. I want a number. Right. Zero being the worst you can imagine, 10 being our savior. Where does Pat Robertson fall on the spectrum? 0 to 10, I'll start 5.5, maybe 6. Keith?
4.
Jack?
I don't even think he should be. It should be a separate category. Because, like, again, like Lucifer, Satan wouldn't want this guy because he's never probably – kissed a woman that's never been his wife in 93 years. He's probably never had a beer or seen a PG movie or
something. He disregards the word of God.
Really on,
well, hold on a minute now. Wait, listen, y'all are, I think I've been a little bit hard. But I'm not – listen, we never had him on the show, so that says something. But I think I view him marginally favorably is what I would say. And – we'd be better off with him running the show than Biden. Anyway, we got to take a break. More with Jack Ryan when we come back.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
What a perfect intro to this particular segment. Stuck in the middle with you and with who? I mean, here we have Donald Trump facing 1,000 counts.
Of fiction.
Indictments nationwide from New York and now to Florida, soon to be coming in Georgia. And then you have all of these cucks, these cucked out losers like Mike Pence and Nikki Haley and Chris Christie. And I can't even remember Tim Scott. I guess he's
Tim Scott.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, you talk about a bowl of oatmeal, you know, my gosh.
Where are we at here, Jack? Where are we? Now, listen, I'll tell you. I'll take Pat Robertson over some of those clowns. At now?
He makes, you know, that quartet basically makes Pat Robertson look like Elvis.
So what are we talking about here? Where are we at, Jack?
Okay, so...
Oh, but I got to give Jack credit on one thing. I got to give credit to Jack on a lot of things. I love Jack. But you and I gave you credit for this earlier tonight, but you were the one who gave us the George Wallace theme song, the campaign song, the campaign ad. We played that earlier in the hour, and you were the one who brought that to my attention. I never heard that before. Anyway, so thank you for that. But where are we at now with the
working out there in the internet?
Pence and all of this stuff and the Trump indictments. Yeah, I know you like to go to South Africa or South America when it's a presidential election cycle, and the first presidential debate for the Republicans is in August.
Now you called that right. Three and a half years ago, I can't take 18 months of day in, day out presidential elections. Sweden, they have elections that last 3 weeks, and then no one else is allowed to campaign before that. Our elections go literally for a year and a half. So that horrible communist Leon Trotsky, Lev Bronstein, envisioned a time of permanent revolution. Well, we have basically permanent presidential campaigns, and both sides of these people that are just trying to milk it are disputing the last three presidential elections. They're trying to say that Obama was an American citizen and that Trump was a Russian collusion and that Biden. So they're just, we have permanent elections. So this kind of people that do this are professional political consultants. Like, who is that horrible guy? Karl Rove, people that do this for a living. And then you get certain groups. They're doing it to try to present some image or get people to buy their books, libertarians. I'm a big critic of the Ron and Rand Paul cult. And then this religious right Christian coalition people, they keep doing this to running on the elections to try to get more people to write. And they're running all the freaking time. And a regular person that has a job or a family does not want to get involved in a campaign that lasts 18 months. And so now we've got
political pimps and prostitutes. And if you listen to them, you listen in vain to find out what they really stand for, what they will do when they get in office.
And they do. And these groups that keep going on, and I don't know who did it. Who was the first vice president of the United States? Whoever it was or something. There was one that said vice president
John Adams
ain't worth a warm bucket. Okay, there was some other guy said the vice presidency ain't worth a warm bucket.
I think
bucket
it was John Nance Garner under the Roosevelt administration, Cactus Jack of Texas.
Yeah. No, he said it wasn't worth it. And look at, in our lifetime, all of the vice presidents, what happened to them? Lyndon Johnson, George W. Bush Sr., Dan Quayle, Walter Mondale. Now they got that senile, sleepy Joe Biden. And then we've got Mike Pence. So these vice presidents, they wanted it, and then they go on. And this guy, I'm sorry, Mike Pence is saying he's the candidate of God and the Constitution. I must have missed the press conference where God and Jesus Christ formally endorsed Mike Pence. Did you guys see that or did it come out? I must have missed it. And then,
I tell you what, Mike Pence is just, I mean, he makes, you know, he makes tiny towns.
Mr. Rogers look like Mick Jagger.
Yeah, that's right.
Good one, Jay.
Well, they've
that
got,
was from
and
Mrs. Doubtfire,
okay.
But
right, and then so then the other people that were running now, I'm going to recommend a book just a little bit later, but I want people to read some of my brilliant writing that should change the course of civilization right now. But I wrote 10 years ago at Occidental Dissent, What's the Matter with South Carolina? And it mentioned that they didn't have a single white Southerner or any other white heterosexual in the office of governor or U.S. senator. They had that horrible Nikki Haley that's a crossover. She's running for president now. It's like, oh, look, we're not racist anymore. We got this Indian.
And Lady G, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
He ain't running again, is he?
With Ted Kennedy and drag. Why can't someone run a campaign against using taxpayer money for homosexual prostitution in Washington? If I was running as opposition, you think that they would go against them? That's South Carolina, used to be the biggest Southern conservative state, but they like that federal money for the military, and Lindsey Graham gets it, and these neocon wars, they get money for that. And so all those people are running for president now. Tim Scott, oh, look, He's like the Larry Elder that was supposedly black conservative in California. These people just do the demographics. Black Americans are 12%.
Look at Lindsey Graham. He's probably never been in a fight in his life, but he's the biggest war hawk in Congress.
He's certainly never been with a woman.
He might be fighting for some lingerie at some store. With some
All right, hold on, Jack. You're on a roll tonight, brother, as you always are. But I got two topics. We got to shift gears again. I got two topics, and I got 2 minutes. I was like, I get to them quick. But number one, now you can relate to this. You're outside of Chicago. You're in the Chicagoland, greater metropolitan area.
Right.
So San Francisco, two of the biggest hotels in San Francisco released an announcement a few days ago saying they're going to limit their exposure, which means they're closing up shop in San Francisco because the crime and the diversity has gotten too much for even the Hilton brand to endure. So Hilton's closing up shop in San Francisco.
Their hotels are probably romper rooms for homosexuals.
Well, whatever the case. I mean, there's a lot of vagrants. There's a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of non-white stuff on the street. And so these big hotels are moving out of San Francisco. They're saying we're leaving San Francisco. Right. They're not saying why, but we know why. What do you make of that, Jack?
Well, I was I lived in New York City when civilization collapsed in the late 1980s and left right before Giuliani got elected. And all the atrocities, this was when Bush Sr. was the president of the United States. And after that, got gang raped and left for dead. Trump took out a full-page advertisement in the New York Post calling for the death penalty, and I wrote a very good letter and talked about history. It got printed, and we're doing these things, 2,000 murders a year. George Bush Sr. is completely – doesn't even see what's going on. Civilization's collapsing. Crazy, mentally ill patients, people living on the street, pissing and pooping. But it gets to a point, you think that we've got a savior like Giuliani, but if it gets so bad that business collapses – then things do happen that Times Square, they Disney-fied it and they cleaned it up. And if business is so bad that the hotels and things don't, have to go out, then it will be some changes. It's not based on some Christian, soldier coming in cleaning up the place. But if it's that bad and Chicago is getting the same way, if it hits that bad, forces economic will come in and things will hit rock bottom and they'll come up. That's my observation. It did happen in New York. So it can happen another way.
1 minute on this one, and then we got something I got to do for Keith. I promised him all show tonight I'd do it for him. We got to do it. But another article, anything that happens naturally or whether it's made up or not or whatever the case, it affects blacks worse, according to the media. Smog affects blacks worse.
Earthquakes,
climate, so-called climate change. It's all racist. It all affects blacks worse. An article this week, black cyclists are more at risk than white cyclists. Is that another euphemism like jogger or birdwatcher? Black cyclists. I've never seen one.
That's a rare species right there.
But nevertheless, they are more at risk than white cyclists. Everything that happens... Blacks are more at risk. It's all racist. Cycling, bird watching, it's all racist. Everything is racism. Do you see a lot of black cyclists outside of Chicago, Jack?
Are they being put upon? A long way. Right. It's that our enemies, and this goes back when Cronkite blamed the conservative white city of Dallas, Texas, for killing President Kennedy. He said, hate killed President Kennedy. Well, it ended up being a communist pro-Cuba guy. So they say that white conservatives, Christians have some kind of supernatural power to control the climate. So they do climate change. And so they, even though it's all blacks that are they're beating up Asians in New York and San Francisco, they say, well, Donald Trump and these conservatives, they created a climate of racial injustice that made these people do these bad things. So yeah, that's what we're like
they're not really black people; they're white people in blackface.
Well, if you can say that, if you're in downtown Atlanta and it's a few degrees hotter than it is in Villarica, Georgia, which is a little bit to the west, you say it's because of the concrete. Well, who's mowing down the trees? It's not whites. It's not whites in these third world places. If that does have anything to do with climate change, it's not our people doing it. Now, Keith, I promised you we'd do this. What are we doing? You got 10 seconds to tell us.
Well, we're playing summertime music.
Now, you played this during the winter. You asked for this one to be played in the winter, too.
Yeah, I know. But
is it a song for all seasons?
No, it's really
my leg.
It is a song for summer, at the beginning of summer,
Then why didn't you want to play in the winter, too?
Because it's good. And also because the leader of this band hated Jerry Lewis, and I've hated Jerry Lewis ever since he made his infamous comment.
It was his
comment.
Own son, Gary Lewis.
Yeah, right. Jerry Lewis wrote his son Gary Lewis out of his will, and he also was the one who made the comment on the Johnny Carson or Jack Parr show that whenever he flew
whenever
transcontinental
flies over
flight,
your house, he likes to take a...
No, he said if he flew over Mississippi, he always wanted to know when he's flying over Mississippi so he could use the bathroom on the plane.
All right. Well,
after that, I've had no use for the guy.
For Jack Ryan and you, Keith Alexander, and John Hill and David Duke and Stephen Brockus making his debut appearance. That's been a busy show tonight. Let's end with this. It is summertime. We've been celebrating summer. It's a show for all seasons here at TPC, as you know. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Here it is for just a couple of seconds.
Walk along the lake with someone new. Have yourself a summer fling or two. But remember, I'm in love with you, and save your heart for me.
Good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.